Malka.
Yes, and come on in.
Thank you, ma'am.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're going to begin this today's class with the Ketoret. And as we all know, the Ketoret is the incense offering. And it is been told by the Talmud and the Zohar that this is the tool to block plagues. And we'll start with L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud, Kitschabri Hu, Ishkinte, Bit Hilu, Urhimu, Uthilu, Uthilu, Urhim, Leakka, L'Shem, Yude, Bavavhe, Be Yehuda, Shalim, B'Shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kananei aleinu maasei yadeinu kananehu. Atahu Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawanu heyo Eloheinu Shechikayru Avotenu Lefanecha Et Ketoret Tzasamim Beizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam Kasher Tzivita Ota Al Yedei Moshe Nevi'echa kakatu v'toratecha v'yomer Adonai Yohewahe Adamu yo Yohewahe Dawanu heyo El Moshe kach lecha samim Natatu shelet v'el b'na Samim uvonazaka vad bevad yihye huyasita otaketoret rokach base rokeach mimulach tahor kodesh shachata mimena hadek v'natata Mimena lifnei ha'edut B'yohel mo'ed asher iwa'er Lecha shama kodesh kadashim Tihye lachem v'ne'emar v'hiktir Alal acharon ketoret samim Baboker, Baboker, Behetivo, Ed Hanerot, Yaktirena, Uha Alod Acharon, Ed Hanerot, Bain Harbaim, Yaktirena, Ketoret, Ed Hanerot, Bain Harbaim. Yaktirena ketoret tamid lifne Adonai yo hewahe Adanu yo yoahe dawanu eyo ledorotechem. Now we're going to get additional wisdom from the Talmud. Tanu Rabbanan Petum HaKetoret Ketad Shalosh Meot Wishishim Ushmoda Mani Ayuva Shalosh Meot Wishishim Wichamisha Keminyan Yemot hachama mane l'kol yom Fayeras v'shacharit Ufras bein ha'arbaim Ushlosha manim yeterim Shemehem bachnis Kohen gadol melo hachnav V'yom ha'kippurim Umachatziram lebateshet Be'erev yom hakipurim Ushochakan Yafe yafe kedeshet hey Daka min hadaka V'yachad asar simanim Ayuva ve'elu Pain One Hatsari, two Hatsiporen, three Vahaldana, four Vahaldana, Mishpal, Shivim, Shivim, Mane, five more, six Uksia, seven Shibolet, Nerd, eight Vikarkom, Mishpal, Shisa, Asar, Shisa, Sar, Mane. Nein, Koshtaimasar, Ten Kilufa Shalosha, 11 Kinamontisha, Ori Karshina Tishakabin, Yain Kafrisin Sein, Tilatavakabin, Tilatavim, Ein Lo Yain Kafrisin, Mevi Yochamar, Ivaryan Atik, Melach Sedomit, Rovahadakav, Maale Ashan Poshehu, Rabbi Natan Habavli, Omer Achipad Hayarden, Poshehu, Rim Natan, Badivashvasala, Bim Hisar Achat, Mikol Misaneha, Hayabita, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Eitzari Ido, Ela Sara, Anotev, Meate Haka, Peri Kershina, Lama Hiva Akede, Liapod Ba Ed Hatsipran, Kede Shede Naa, Yain Kafrisin, Lama Huva Kede, Lishrobo Ed Hatsiporen, Kede Shede, Azav Halo, Miraglaim Yafin, La Elashein, Machnisin, Miraglaim, Bam Kodash, Mifne Hakavo, Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer, Kishehu Shohek Omer, Hadek Hetev Hetev Hadek Mifne Shehato Yafel Abasamim Bit Malachatzayim Yeshera Lishlish Delir Via Lo Shemanu Amar Rabbi Yehuda Zehachlau Im Kemidata Kishera lafatzayim ve'im chisar achat mikol damanecha kayav mita tanya bar kapara omer achat l'shishim o l'shivim Shana Haita Vashel Shireim Lachatzayim Viotane Bar Kapara Ilu Haya Noten Bakur Tov Shel Devash Ein Adam Yaikol La'amod mifnei reicha v'lama ein me'arvin Badevash mifnei shechatora Amra ki kol se'or v'kol devash lo ha'tach hiru Mimenu ishe La donayo he wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu he yo. From now to the end of the Torah is recommended to say three times, but we will only say it once. Adonaiyo hewahe adanuyo, yo ahe dawanu heyo, tiva odi manu misfaglanu, elohe yakov selah. Adonaiyo hewahe adanuyo, yo ahe dawanu heyo. Devout Ashre Adambote Asa Adonai Ohewahe Adanu Yo Yo Aheda Wanu Heyo Oshia Hamele Yaaneinu Tiyom Kareinu Atase Teli Mitzar titzreni, rane fale, esovaveni, tela. We are val Adonai, yo hewahe, adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu heyo. Minchat Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Ime olam ukshanim kadroniyo. Our class today is Jewish history. And as we know, we're taught to study Judaism, Jewish religion, Jewish history, based on the energy of the times. And the energy of the times comes from the parasha. Or it really doesn't come from the parasha. The parasha allows us an insight into what is the energy of the time, the energy of this week. And this week, the parasha is a double portion. Acharei Mot, which translates as after death, and Kiddushim, which would translate as Kedusha, with holiness. And the teaching is from the double portion, after death comes holiness. But being a human being, I don't want to wait. I don't want to have to die to get to the level of holiness. Can I get to the level of holiness in this world before the Mashiach comes? And by me reaching holiness in this world, do I hasten the Mashiach or do I lengthen his coming? And the answer is, if you achieve that level of consciousness of holiness before the Mashiach arrives, you hasten his coming. So we are going to read from both Parsha Acharei Mot and Parsha Kedoshim. We're going to read verses that seem to be similar, and we're going to ask questions about why are these similar. So in Acharei Mot, we'll be reading from chapter 18. We're going to read from chapter 18, verse 6. If I read the verse in Hebrew, and remember we've said a L'shem Yehud that we haven't canceled, so that still applies. Ish. Ish el kol se'er v'saru lo tikrivu legalud erwa ani Adonai Yehovah Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo. The English translation for verse 6, chapter 18, verse 6. No one is to approach any close relative to uncover their nakedness. I am Hashem. And if we continue with verse 7, the nakedness of your father and the nakedness of your mother you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. One question that we should ask is, in the beginning of the verse it says, do not uncover the nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother. But then the end of the verse is saying, you should not uncover the nakedness of your mother. Now I'd like you to jump to chapter 20. Verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood will be on his own head. And verse 10. And if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Are these verses similar? I would say yes. So why do they repeat in one parsha, Achremot, and they seem to be repeating somewhat the same information in the parsha of Kiddushim? What is the actual meaning of that? Why are they being repeated? What is being learned from the repetition? The Zohar comes and teaches us that these verses in chapter 18 of Achremot and chapter 20 of Kiddushim, these verses are referring not only to human being relationships. They're referring to the relationships of the Sephirot. So who is the father and who is the mother when you refer to the frame of the Sephirot? Chachma has a partsuf, when it is a complete structure of 10 Sephirot, of Abba, which is father. And Bina, when it is has a complete structure, it is Ima, mother. So in Achremot, the verse is saying, do not uncover the nakedness. But in Kiddushim, it says, do not commit adultery. What is the difference between the two? If I uncover the nakedness of someone, please excuse me. Come in.
Hold on, just want to check on you.
Okay. I'm back. Now, if I could only remember where I was. That's a joke. In Achremot, in chapter 18 of Leviticus, it's describing do not uncover the nakedness. So what happens when you uncover the nakedness. What is the meaning of that phrase? The answer is it's dealing with the potential. When you visualize a human body, if you're visually seeing the nakedness of a human body, it is titillating. It is approaching the emotional response in your thoughts. And your thoughts, we know, are potential energy. They're not actual energy. But in the Parasha of Kiddushin, when it talks about do not commit adultery, it's referring to the actual action of what those potential thoughts were. So we can see the relationship by studying these two verses, or these two chapters, actually. But we'll do more of each chapter so you can get the effect more strongly. You'll see that the Acharei Mod is describing thoughts and potential, whereas the Kiddushin Parasha is talking about the manifestation of those thoughts. And what does that really come to teach us? I have a thought. So what? I didn't act on the thought. What's wrong with having the thought? And the Torah is hinting to us that the action only happens because you had the thought first. If you control the thought, you'll never get close to doing the action. And that you cannot separate the action from the thought. There are two levels. And the two levels impact each other. Remember the adage, what is above, so below. What is below, so above. We impact all of these things. If we don't control our thoughts, we will find it very difficult to control our actions. And we will ultimately have a negative effect. We will receive chaos from the fact that we had the thought and made no effort to control it. And that is a very important lesson to be learned. I'm going back to Acharei Mod chapter 18. I'm going to read a few verses, starting with verse 8. The nakedness of your father's wife you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter, or of your daughter's daughter, even their nakedness you shall not uncover, for theirs is your own nakedness. Verse 11. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten of your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. What are we talking about in verse 11? There's questions in the earlier verses, 8, 9, and 10. But let's just look at 11 for now. Your father's wife's daughter that was begotten of your father, she is your sister. This is describing a stepsister. We can understand stepsisters from a human level. There's a man and a wife, they have a child, and that child is you. And then your mother leaves, whether it's divorce or whether she dies, she is left. Now your father remarries, and he has a child with his new wife. She is your stepsister, is the way human beings describe it. But the Torah isn't saying that. The Torah is saying she is your sister. What is it hinting to us? That DNA transfers. And the Torah is giving us conditions, reminding us that if I have a recessive gene, a DNA that leaves me to have an illness, I may have gotten that from my father. And if I got it from my father, it can be passed to my sister. And if I mate with my sister, God forbid, that recessive gene can get transferred on to the next generation, to my child. My sister's child. That's on one level. It's hinting to us to be careful about how we transfer genes, how we transfer DNA from one generation to the next. But that's just one level. What else is being taught in this? Remember, this is the potential. If I'm uncovering the nakedness, if I see my stepsister naked, I'm going to have a thought that is not recommended. And when we get to Kiddushin, you'll see how that relates. But let us return to verse 8 in chapter 18. The nakedness of your father's wife you shall not uncover, because it is your father's nakedness. A husband and wife get married. They were married under a chuppah. They were married with the blessing of the Shekhinah. That's part of the ritual of the marriage. The souls have been glued together. There is no longer two half souls. There is no longer a female half soul and a male half soul. There is now one soul that is unified of male and female. So if I am uncovering my stepmother, I'm actually a dishonoring my father. I'm actually affecting my relationship with Chachma, the Sephirah of wisdom, who is my father. So then who am I in that discussion, in that verse? I am the Malchut. And Chachma can only be revealed in Malchut. Chachma is wisdom. Malchut is manifestation. Chachma can only be manifested in the physical world, in Malchut, in me. But when I affect my thoughts, as it relates to my father or my mother or my stepmother, what am I doing? I'm creating imbalance in the upper worlds of Chachma and Chesed, because wisdom can only manifest in Malchut when it is veiled by Chesed. We speak of the light of Orda Chasadim veiling Orda Chachma. The light of loving kindness is a veil on the light of wisdom. You begin to see how the teachings of the Sefirot, the teachings of the Kabbalah, impacts our human actions and how they interact with the upper worlds, which we call the Sefirot. I'm looking at chapter 20, verse 11, which is in the parasha of Kedoshim. And if a man sleeps with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness, and both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood will be on their own hands. Tie the two verses together from Leviticus and Kedoshim. One is potential, one is thought. But then in the manifestation, in the action, in Kedoshim, it's saying the same language. If you uncover, if you sleep with your father's wife, you uncover your father's nakedness. This is the same type of language from Leviticus. It's saying the action affects the thoughts. The action affects the upper world of Chachma, of Atzilut. Verse 12, if a man sleeps with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have brought corruption. Their blood will be on their own heads. Why does it say their blood will be on their own heads? What happens in your head? Your thoughts. They take place in your head, in your brain, the physical organ. If you don't control your thoughts, you don't control your actions. And when you don't control your actions, you receive the effect in the chaos of your thoughts. This is my opinion. I have not heard this from a teacher, but it seems extremely rational and logical to me. Yet we know that the Torah does not have to be logical. But as a human being, we appreciate logic. We strive for logic because we can understand logic, and we can prove logic in one level to other people. But by studying these two chapters, one after the other, close together, you begin to get a sense of what is being taught, what is being hinted. What is the sefirah of the term your father's wife's daughter, begotten of your father? If you're the male child of your mother and father, you are Zeron Pim. You are the son. your father's new wife has a daughter. She is Malchut, but she is Malchut connected to your father, to your Abba, to your Hachma. Do you understand how the Sephirot are perceived together and how these phrases that I'm just playing from the Torah is really talking about Sephirot? Verse 12. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your father's near family. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's near family. You're talking about your aunt and your uncle, correct? What is the relationship of your aunt and your uncle to your father and to your mother? Your father and your mother are Chachma and Bina. You are Zeran Tim. Who is your father's sister or your father's brother? Who is your mother's sister or your mother's brother? A near family. It's saying that Zeran Tim of Chachma, that's the near family. You're Zeran Tin, your father has a child. But otherwise, it's coming from a different level. The level of Zeran Tin of Chachma affects Zeran Tin you. We jump now to chapter 20. Verse 13 of chapter 20. And if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. We've all heard this. We all understand that for thousands of years, the religions, Judaism, Christianity, Muslim, the Eastern religions, they have all said homosexuality is an abomination. But let us look at what is the word for abomination. Chapter 13 in Hebrew. U'isha sher yishkav et zachor mishkevei isha to'eva asu chenehem mot yomatu demehem bam. The word for abomination is to'eva. It's spelled Tafav, which is the way you spell out the letter Tav. The third letter is Ayin, and the fourth letter is Bet. And Ayin Bet is 72, the 72 names of God. What is the abomination? It's the end of the 72 names of God manifested in the final letter, He. The phrase in the verse is, do not lie with a man like you would a woman. You lie with a woman face to face. Can you lie with a man face to face? I don't mean to bring that into your minds as an image. I'm just asking you to recognize that there are people, there are rabbis, there are Kabbalists who have said homosexuality based on loving kindness, based on true love, is not an abomination. But homosexuality that is sodomy is always an abomination. It's striving to bring to an end the energy of the 72 names of Hashem. I'm in chapter 20, verse 14. And if a man takes with his wife also her mother, it is wicked. Both, and they shall be burned with fire, so that no wickedness will be among you. Does that seem fair to you? Two women, mother and daughter, are lying with one man. How does that relate to the Sefirot? The man is there on Jinn. Bina is the mother, Malchut is the daughter. What is Zeron Pim doing in that sense? He's bringing Malchut and Bina together when it should not belong together yet. We know that after Mashiach, what the world that is coming is, Malchut will rise to the level of Bina. Malchut will mirror Bina. But if you do that in advance, just like Chava and Adam were supposed to eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, after the Shabbat, when the time was right, but they ate before it was right. And this is the same idea. You're bringing Malchut to the level of Bina before it is ready to go to the level of Bina. A close study of these Sefirot and these laws, these recommended actions, which are referred to as incest. These laws, if you don't understand them on the detailed level, you will not understand the chaos that comes into your life from those thoughts that you chose not to control. I'm going to stop here, even though we have a few minutes left. Primarily because it's such a difficult subject to discuss. Incense. Incest. It's cognate to. It sounds like incest and incense. They sound similar. One removes the plague. One big brings the plague. There are seven reasons, seven major sins that humanity has done over the centuries. And those major sins impact the plague. They're the cause of the plague. I gave that in a lecture earlier in the last week. I described what those seven sins are, and I will take the time to do it again. Because the more that we get this spoken of, the more people understand it, the sooner we will get them resolved. And I apologize for the delay, but I'm looking for a note. The seven negative actions that have been done over the centuries. Number one, the worst is Lashon Hara, evil speech. Number two, bloodshed, which is embarrassing another in public. Not just committing murder, but it's embarrassing somebody. It's insulting somebody. The third one is lying, false oaths, but it includes exaggeration. The fourth is incest. All of these different relationships in chapter 18 and chapter 20 of Leviticus, these are all the laws of incest. It's incest. The fifth is arrogance. In Yiddish, we call it chutzpah. It's being rude. It's not letting somebody finish their talk, their speech, their thought. It's feeling that I'm more important than you are, and therefore I have the right to cut you off from speaking your mind. So in effect, you're saying, I don't have to listen to you. The sixth is robbery. Taking the things that don't belong to you. But who cares about things? They're nothingness. They're part of physicality. What is it really saying? It's saying you're taking the energy that is imbued in that physical item that does not belong to you because you have not earned it. The seventh is called evil lie. What is the difference between Lashon Hara, evil speech, and evil lie? One is envy. That's evil lie. Lashon Hara is gossip. Lashon Hara is speaking badly about another. Lashon Hara is making a statement, even a positive statement, without considering the effect on other people. And all of this gets grouped into one category, the eighth category, which relates to the world that is coming. We have to cleanse. We have to do teshuvah for hatred for no reason. What is hatred for no reason? And I've given you a number, the same example many times. Hatred for no reason is when you are saying, I don't want this person to have that energy. Not just that I want that energy, but I don't want them to have it. We can train ourselves to be happy for people who have something we want. We can feel good for them. And when we don't, we're manifesting hatred for no reason. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a couple of questions, but I'm going to keep them for tonight.
All right. You all have a good afternoon. We have two classes tonight. One is at 4:30 West Coast time, is a deeper Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock is questions and answers. And Malka has already indicated she's going to bring some questions. So hopefully you'll all come. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Have a good day. Good day to all.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.